This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to a special edition of Washington Watch. Today we will take a look back at a speech given by Reince Priebus at this year's Values Voter Summit. Priebus, who was the chairman of the Republican National Committee at the time, has been selected by President-elect Donald Trump to serve as his chief of staff. Now, the Values Voter Summit is an annual event here in Washington, D.C. that is sponsored by the Family Research Council and FRC Action alongside several other organizations. At that event, Reince laid out Republican priorities that will no doubt be a part of the incoming Trump administration. Also later in the show, you'll hear my interview with former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani on national security issues. But first, here's Reince Priebus.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming now is a man who could very well be the longest running chairman for the Republican National Convention in history. That's how good he is. Hailing from his home state of Wisconsin, he is credited with helping to bring nationally known figures such as Speaker of the House Paul Ryan and Governor of Wisconsin Scott Walker into power and on the state level and into prominence on the national stage. And after the 2016 Republican primary season, I think he should be nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome RNC Chairman Reince Priebus.
Well, hello, and thank you, everybody. It's an honor to be here. It's inspiring to be with all of you today. So many patriots this afternoon that want to change the course that we're on in this country on a failed presidency, take back our country for freedom and American values. I want to thank like so many people up here, not just all of the sponsors up here, but one person in particular who's been very good to me, and that's Tony Perkins. He's been a good friend. So many folks that you hear from, you'd love to know that we get together often, share stories. Ken Blackwell, Tony Perkins, so many folks that you're going to hear from. But we hold each other accountable. I'm also here as a teammate. I'm here to honor God every day that I can, every ounce of energy that I have. Ultimately, I want to make you proud of our party, too. But it really starts with God and being the salt and light in the things that we say and the actions that we take. You're all on that front line to fight for the soul of our nation. And it's my privilege to be with you all today. So many people have said it already. We're here right now, 60 days out from Election Day. We're actually poised, in spite of what the media wants to tell you, we are poised to win back the White House, preserve our majorities in the House and the Senate, and ensure that we protect the Supreme Court from liberal activist judges. Just a few weeks ago, the media was writing off Donald Trump, but now he's closed the gap with Hillary Clinton. It's a neck and neck race, and make no mistake, Donald Trump is ready to win. And momentum's on his side, and the electorate's on his side. It's a change electorate. You actually saw it on both sides of the aisle. No one here thinks that Hillary Clinton is the change candidate. It's Donald Trump and the Republican Party and all of you that are listening to the grassroots voices from across this country. He's brought millions of new voters into the GOP who are concerned about their country. 14.5 million votes, the most any Republican has ever won in the history of Republican primaries. He knows that Americans have had enough. Enough of a government which plays by its own rules. Enough of a president who talks down to the American people about their guns and their religion. Enough of a Democrat nominee who lives above the law and thinks holding public office is a get-rich-quick strategy. The Democratic Party running Hillary Clinton, you know, even though it wasn't that long ago, it's not even the Democrat Party of 1992, 96, or even 2000. This is a party racing to adopt Bernie Sanders' wish list of socialist policies. Donald Trump is standing in the breach to make sure that that doesn't happen. He's fighting for middle-class families who love America and want to see prosperity come back to our country. He's calling radical Islamic terror for what it is, and he's committed to uprooting and punishing terrorists wherever they may be found. Christians, Jews, and other religious minorities are getting slaughtered across the Middle East. And Donald Trump is going to stand up for them and other persecuted people suffering under ISIS's reign of terror. He's going to restore the special relationship and friendship between the United States and Israel, which President Obama has damaged. He understands that a strong American-Israeli relationship is an asset to our national security, not a liability. And make no mistake, Donald Trump and Mike Pence understand that religious liberty is a cornerstone of freedom that our nation has held dear for as long as we've been around. And he, Donald Trump, and Mike Pence will defend that principle at all levels. People of faith don't leave their religion in the church pews. We live it out wherever we are. The left is launching an assault on our culture and wants to strip God out of the public square. Our nation's religious heritage has helped make us what we are today. No American with religious convictions will have to bow at the altar of secularism if Donald Trump is president. And if you need any more motivation for why we need to elect Donald Trump, let me give you two words. Supreme Court. I'm sure everyone here has mourned the loss of Justice Scalia, who is a great jurist and an even better man. He was a great friend of the Constitution and our conservative movement. The best way to honor his legacy is to make sure a like-minded person fills his seat on the Supreme Court. Yes. Hillary Clinton, how many people think Hillary Clinton is going to be that person? Hillary Clinton is going to appoint, if she gets her chance, as many left-wing justices as she can to the Supreme Court and federal courts across this country. A Clinton Supreme Court will be entrenched for a generation and will reshape our country as we know it. We're not talking about the next 4 years. We're talking about the next 40. Her justices will treat the Constitution as a suggestion at best and a doormat at worst. We know she's going to side with the left in the fight for religious liberty. Any business owner of faith or any teacher in a faith-based school could find themselves in court just like Hobby Lobby did. It's not fantasy. Merely for exercising their rights in the same way Americans have done for centuries. She despises the Second Amendment rights and wants to overturn the Supreme Court's Heller decision, which reaffirmed the simple right of Americans to have a firearm in their own home. And she's an extremist. She's an extremist in her support for late-term and partial-birth abortion. Planned Parenthood is out there working overtime to bankroll her campaign, and we have to stop her. Yes. Now, we know that during her tenure, the State Department became a revolving door for Democrat lobbyists and insiders. She lied to the victims of the Benghazi attacks that an internet video was behind their deaths, and she's been lying to the American people for 18 months about how she recklessly mishandled our nation's most precious secrets and endangered our national security. I've got two young kids. I'm sure a lot of you have kids too. It worries me to think about the kind of country that my kids and all of your kids could be growing up in if President Hillary Clinton remakes the Supreme Court in her left-wing image. Donald Trump has promised to appoint conservative justices whose judicial compass is the Constitution. He's going to protect our rights that are at the crosshairs. They're at the crosshairs of these liberal secularists. And he's taking a conservative position on more than just the Supreme Court. He's going to work with our Republican Congress to restore accountable government and be a champion for traditional values. The Republican Party is standing up for your church and your children. Over the summer, the Platform Committee once again clearly reaffirmed what we believe in. We had 112 delegates drafting a document that takes into account Republican voices from every state and every territory. Compare that to the Democrats, who have handpicked 15 people huddling behind closed doors, not on television for you to watch, writing their platform because they know their agenda is far too extreme if the American people actually read it. And if you liked the 2012 platform, which people thought was one of the most conservative platforms we've ever had, well, you're really going to like the 2016 platform. Thanks to delegates like Tony Perkins, we've been able to uphold conservative principles which our country needs, protecting the life of the unborn, standing up for traditional marriage, declaring the importance of the two-parent family for the health and happiness of our children, defending our citizens' constitutionally protected right to worship according to their conscience, whether that's in their churches, their homes, and yes, even their businesses, making sure chaplains can do their jobs on military bases. I want you to know that our party is standing up for these freedoms, which the Obama administration now has spent years trampling. If Hillary Clinton is president, you know she's going to do the same thing. There's no way an individual who has this little regard for protecting our rights should get near the White House. The book of Romans urges us to abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. And I want you to know I take that call seriously. We want to rebuild our inner cities, which have languished under decades of Democrat rule. We want to make sure every child has a good education. The Democrats want schools controlled by teachers' unions and want to fill our kids' heads with left-wing propaganda. Republicans believe in the right of every child to get a good education, regardless of what zip code they live in. We want school choice. We know.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. We're glad you're listening today. We're taking a look back at a speech given by Reince Priebus, who's now been selected by President-elect Donald Trump to serve as his chief of staff. The speech was given at this past Values Voter Summit in September. Don't go away. We'll hear more from this event right after these messages.
Should our daughters and mothers be forced to serve in the military through selective service in a time of war? Should they be required to serve in units with men in primal conditions where privacy and personal hygiene are by nature out in the open and where they are forced together in close proximity for long periods? The American military is about preparing for, fighting, and winning wars and performing specific operations against threats to the security of our country and vital national interests. Period. Anything that distracts from the achievement of these purposes should be jettisoned. This includes placing women into special operations forces or forward-based infantry positions, and including them in the selective service. For more information on the common sense needs of our men and women in uniform, visit frc.org/womeninthedraft. That's frc.org/womeninthedraft.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join my wife, Luana, and me on an exciting adventure. Next July 29th, we'll board Holland America's a luxurious MS Uridam in Seattle for a 7-day cruise to Alaska. You'll be joined by other believers as we study God's Word and worship Him together in the midst of some of the most breathtaking beauty in all of God's creation. Alaska is truly awe-inspiring. From stunning wildlife such as humpback whales to the purple mountain majesties, America is known and loved for. You'll also hear the latest updates from Washington on the new Congress and administration. Come, fellowship, relax, worship, and explore with us on this memorable vacation experience that is sure to enrich your body, soul, and spirit. For more information or to book your Alaskan adventure, call 844-872-5155 or go to TonyPerkins.com. Don't miss out. The number of cabins is limited. Again, that number is 844-872-5155 or TonyPerkins.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the media telling you what to think? It is difficult to sort out what is true and what is false in the news. That's why Family Research Council President Tony Perkins writes a daily newsletter called The Washington Update. This daily email newsletter analyzes the most important events and topics at the forefront of the battles for religious liberty, the protection of life, and the defense of natural marriage, not only in Washington, but around the country. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from the latest election season news to underreported stories about both setbacks and successes in the fight for religious liberty, the sanctity of life, and marriage. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Visit frc.org/washington-update today to learn more and subscribe. Again, that's frc.org/washington-update.
Welcome back to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. If you're joining us, you're listening to a speech by Reince Priebus, who has recently been announced as the chief of staff for President-elect Donald Trump. At the time, Reince Priebus was still chairman of the Republican National Committee. He was making this speech at the Values Voters Summit, talking about Republican conservative priorities. No doubt, we'll see these priorities in the policies of the next administration. Here's what Reince had to say as we finish up his speech.
We want to rebuild our inner cities, which have languished under decades of Democrat rule. We want to make sure every child has a good education. The Democrats want schools controlled by teachers' unions and want to fill our kids' heads with left-wing propaganda. Republicans believe in the right of every child to get a good education, regardless of what zip code they live in. We want school choice. We know that the classroom is not an assembly line, and kids shouldn't be brainwashed by liberals when they go to school. We want to honor the fact that all men and women are made in the image of God and stop the global trade in human trafficking. Our party wants to do good and seek justice for all Americans because we believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's why we spent the last 4 years building a nationwide ground game and have over 1,000 paid staffers in battleground states right now, bigger than we've ever had ever in the history of the RNC. That's why we started our Republican Leadership Initiative to train the next generation of Republican leaders who want to make a difference in their communities, no matter where they call home. And that's why we hired a new staff to restart a dialogue with communities we hadn't seen in a long time and held listening sessions with businesses and community leaders around the country to find out their concerns and priorities for all voters in every community. We have recommitted our party to being the party of the open door because we want everyone to experience the blessings of liberty. The Declaration of Independence makes it clear all men are endowed with God-given rights, and it is our duty to preserve those promises for the next generation. If we don't do this, who will? At the end of the day, the stakes couldn't be higher in this election. We've got a choice to make. Either big government keeps holding the reins of power, or we take back the freedoms which have made America the greatest nation on earth. The founders, our founders of this country knew how important the values of people, the people in this room, those values we share. We share the values of the American experiment in democracy. The people in this room share those values. John Adams said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." George Washington said, "It is substantially true that virtue or morality is a necessary spring of popular government." We don't believe what we believe just for the heck of it. We believe in the laws of God because they are true and they are necessary for a free and thriving American republic. A moral people is one of the wellsprings of liberty. One of my favorite passages, and I may have shared this with you all in years past, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Isaiah chapter 6. And I'm sort of fascinated with this chapter. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but I think you understand where I'm going. It's the year King Uzziah died. And it's when Isaiah looked up into heaven and he saw God on the throne. And you remember that passage. It was so powerful and so amazing that he fell to the ground just by the sight of it. And he heard out a voice, and the voice from God said, "Whom shall I send?" And without knowing the mission, out of obedience, Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." We have such an enormous opportunity in front of us. We're in a battle for freedom in this country. Do you believe that? We're in a battle of freedom, the same battle that founded this country. It's the same battle that James Madison reaffirmed in the Bill of Rights. It's the same battle that founded our party in 1854. And here we are today. It's a battle for freedom. I don't know, have any of you been to the, I'm sure you've, now that you're here, but I'm sure a lot of you have been to the World War II Memorial. Anybody? It's a story I like to tell because it brings it all together. I went there with my son, and like a lot of memorials, you get out of it what you're willing to put into it. You know what I mean. You go there and you see all those quotes from Nimitz and Eisenhower and all these incredible heroes from that time. And you walk up to this place on the wall, those thousands and thousands of golden stars. And I was there with my little guy, and you start to figure it out that for every one of those golden stars, 100 little guys didn't come home to mom and dad. And you parents out there know that obviously you can never put yourself, because you can't ever know what that's like, to put yourself in the shoes of a parent that goes through something like that. And I'm not suggesting that. But you know that little moment sometimes when you think about your kids, and if they're older, when they were little, and you wondered, I wonder what it'd be like if Jack didn't come home to mom and dad. And it kind of, you get that moment and it just kind of hits you. And then you look in front of those golden stars in gold on the black granite, and it says, "Here we mark the price of freedom." We are in a battle for freedom in this country. We have a choice to make in this election. This is our moment to seize the opportunity before us. Let's lock arms together and do what we can together.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. Hey, don't go away. We're going to hear more from this year's Values Voter Summit. Why is this important? Well, these policies, these speeches, these promises, well, I think we're going to see them now that the Trump administration and these individuals you're hearing from today are going to be setting the policy for tomorrow. So don't go away. We're back with more on the other side of this break.
Have you noticed lately that healthcare premiums and college tuition are on the rise? Some say the government should provide them to citizens at no cost. The idea of offering such services for free through government programs is understandably attractive to many. However, the utopian socialist principles behind such ideas are inherently flawed, and in reality, their ends can only be achieved through unfettered government overreach. Down through the ages, socialism has only wrought destruction, and those who propose that an American execution of the same policies would somehow reap a different result do so at their and our peril. With American interest in socialism on the rise, it is vital that we understand its foundational philosophies so that we can combat this fatally flawed government solution to a human problem. Watch former Congressman Bob McEwen lead an informative discussion about socialism and its true consequences at frc.org/McEwen. That's frc.org/MCEWEN.
Every day, more schools around the country are giving in to the transgender agenda. Boys claiming to be female are already being allowed into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. What can parents do to stop this disturbing trend from spreading to their children's schools? Family Research Council is now offering a new resource to help. A Parent's Guide to the Transgender Movement in Education is a concise brochure that can be downloaded at frc.org/gender. To order hard copies, call 800-225-4008. You'll learn valuable tips on how to talk to your children, their teachers, school board members, neighbors, and fellow churchgoers, and the steps you can take to prevent the advancement of the transgender agenda in your school. Again, the number is 800-225-4008 to request this brochure. Your gift of just $5 will cover the cost of shipping and handling, and additional copies are available for $1. Thank you for standing strong for the family.
Welcome back to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're along with us today. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. Now, in the previous segment, we heard from Reince Priebus, who has been tapped to serve as chief of staff for President-elect Donald Trump. We're going to shift gears a little bit and listen to another Popular Values Voter Summit session from this year. Former mayor of New York, an early Trump supporter and advisor, in fact, expected to be tapped for a leadership position in the Trump administration, Rudy Giuliani, joined me at the Values Voter Summit in September to participate in an interview. It's quite entertaining and informative as we talked about national security. Here is that interview.
Well, we have a really unexpected, unscheduled treat for you. This coming Sunday marks the 15th anniversary of 9/11. And I think it's appropriate that as we gather here 15 years later, that we reflect on that, because America in many ways is at greater risk today than it was 15 years ago. And I think we need to ponder that as we approach this election. And so I think if I asked most of you in here, you could remember where you were on 9/11. I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing. Well, to help us talk about this and put this election into perspective, I've asked America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, to join us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mayor, I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to thank you for, you've been here to the Values Voter Summit before, but I want to thank you for being here again. But I want to thank you for keeping the focus on national security and on America's interest in terms of protecting herself. And you know a little bit about that.
Unfortunately, I do. From being mayor for 8 years, then having the terrible attack. Remember, I became mayor virtually a year after the first attack on the World Trade Center. People think of it as 2001, Well, you know, we were attacked in New York in 1993 by, again, Islamic radical terrorists. And I have been investigating, prosecuting, and studying Islamic radical terrorism since I was in the Ford administration in the 1970s. So for me, this is a lifetime effort. And I think I probably know as well as anyone what's at stake, because I saw what they can do and how committed they are to their evil and horrible ideas.
So when you look back 15 years, in your judgment, is the threat greater today? Has it lessened? Are we better prepared? How important is national security when we look at this election in November?
Well, you know, it's very important. And it's probably more important than we realize, because we always, I think, you know, Americans, as any normal, we always think of jobs and the economy as the most important issue. And of course it is, because people have to support themselves and they have to feed themselves and take care of their family. But national security is really important, largely because of the way in which this administration in Washington has deteriorated our national security. If you had asked me that question 9 years ago or 10 years ago, let's say on the 5th or 6th or 7th anniversary of September 11, I would say that our national security had somewhat improved. We were doing a better job at the airports. We were doing a better job in terms of exchanging intelligence, not only between and among our federal agencies, but with the international community. I mean, there are countries that we're not even friendly with that we have good intelligence relationships with. It's a different relationship. But since President Obama and Hillary Clinton, and I don't mean to be political, but it is a political issue, our national security has really deteriorated, and I feel our country is in more danger today than it was on September 11.
Well, we've seen that in recent terrorist attacks in California.
Well, that's what I'm referring to.
In Florida. And I want to talk for just a moment about the role that mayors have been forced to play as a former mayor. But before I do that, I know you're from New York, but I want to ask you about your shoes.
So I wear these shoes. Someone recommended them to me for the 4 or 5 days around September 11 to remind me of what September 11 is all about, and also to remind me of the one thing that makes me, well, there are two things really that lift my spirits when I think about that day, because all the rest of that day was horrible. And one of them was the American flag being put up by the four firefighters who looked just like the four Marines at Iwo Jima. And for me, that was so, it was like after 7 or 8 hours of hearing about all my firefighters being found dead and police officers and 10 of my best friends and Father Michael Judge, who was the chaplain to the fire department, who was my spiritual advisor. And I can't tell you, I mean, I was at the bedside of 22 firefighters when they were dying with Father Judge. Father Judge taught me how to deal with death. And the first person I was informed died at the World Trade Center was Father Judge. So it was a terrible group of memories that comes back. But there are two memories that come back that lift my spirits. One is the American flag. So someone that I was talking to, a wife of a firefighter, suggested I should get a pair of shoes. I always wear the flag, but I should get a pair of shoes to remind me, and socks around September 11, because it'll lift my spirits. I won't get depressed.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're listening. If you'd like to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's @TPerkins. All right, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to finish this interview that I did with Rudy Giuliani at this year's Values Voter Summit. That's coming up right after this. Don't go away.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetal pain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
Since September 11th, 2001, America has been at war. And that's about all anyone can say with certainty about a conflict that has cost 7,000 American lives and almost $2 trillion. As long as the most basic strategic questions, such as who is the enemy and what are we fighting, remain unanswered, victory is impossible. Yet this war is eminently winnable if we remove our ideological blinders and apply basic strategic principles. Our enemy is the global jihadi movement, a modern totalitarian ideology rooted in the doctrines and martial history of Islam. America has defeated totalitarian enemies before. Providing a desperately needed dose of clarity, counterterrorism expert Dr. Sebastian Gorka shows how we can do it again in a recent talk at FRC headquarters in Washington, D.C. Dr. Gorka's bracing, troubling, but ultimately encouraging lecture, entitled Defeating Jihad, the Winnable War, can be viewed at frc.org/war.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, it restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. Glad you're with us today. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. If you're just now joining us, we've been looking back at this year's Values Voter Summit with a couple of key speeches and interviews. Earlier in the program, we heard Reince Priebus, who has now been tapped to be the chief of staff for President-elect Donald Trump. Now, we're listening back on a interview that I did with Rudy Giuliani, former mayor of New York and advisor to Donald Trump. We're going to hear the rest of that, and here it is right now.
The second one were the construction workers. You know, about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon that day, when the fires were burning at like 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and we were still pulling people out, you know, we were still saving people. That ended sometime that night, unfortunately, and tragically. But a group of maybe 1,000 construction workers just walked down the street, and they were walking toward us. And I walked up to the guy that was the head, a big giant guy, like all the construction workers are. And I said, what are you doing? What are you doing here? He said, I thought you could use us. I said, well, why? And he said, because we can lift big things. And darn it, they could lift big things. And they went right in the pile with the firefighters. And I was telling them, you can't go in without the mask on. You can't go in. And man, I couldn't stop. They would have knocked me right over. They just went right in, and they were pulling people out. And that sort of brought my spirit back. It was like...
That is the American spirit.
That is, you're darn right.
It is on greatest display when America is at greatest risk. And we've seen it just recently in Louisiana with the flooding there.
Yes.
After every natural or even man-made disaster, we see the best of Americans who pull together to help their neighbors. They don't worry about union laws. They don't worry about government bureaucrats. They just jump in and they help.
Right.
I would say that preemptively, isn't that where we are today in America, that we need to jump in because America is in crisis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tony, first of all, I hope everything is going well. And my best wishes on what happened to you. You suffered greatly. And I know you have the strength and spirit to get through it, but still, God bless you.
Appreciate that.
Here's what I believe, and I'll try to simplify it. And this comes from 35 years of experience with radical Islamic terrorism. We are best off when we are on offense, not when we're on defense, and waiting for them to attack us. Right now, we are basically on defense, trying to figure out where they're going to attack us next. Is it going to be in Orlando? Is it going to be in San Bernardino? Is it going to be in Dallas? Is it going to be in New York, Atlanta, Chicago? Is it going to be in Paris? Is it going to be the priest whose head was cut off, which I thought got sparse coverage? I mean, I know it's just one life, but there's a great significance to dragging a priest off the altar and chopping his head off.
That was a first, and you're absolutely right. We have now seen ISIS breach the sanctity of a church, and yet it got scant coverage, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about going back 1,000 years to think of things like the era of barbarism. And, of course, he's not the only one whose head was chopped off, but it was sort of symbolic of how far they will go and what they will do if you give them room to maneuver. On the other hand, if you are pushing them back, and you're pushing them back into their little caves, it's a little bit harder to be planning attacks while you're defending your life than it is when you got plenty of time to sit there with your computer. And these people now, here's why I say it's more dangerous. Al-Qaeda was a certain kind of group. They were run by really great warriors, horrible people. I don't mean to say they were good people, but they're great warriors. They won the Afghan war against the Soviets. I mean, they drove the Soviets out of Afghanistan. We always thought for good reasons, but really for bad reasons. They wanted to make it a Muslim state, an Islamic state. But they weren't sophisticated in the internet, the use of social media. The group now, whether it's ISIS or the 23 related groups, are much more sophisticated in the use of social media, much more able to self-activate, as we've seen, people in the United States than Al-Qaeda ever could have done, largely because they have a lot of recruits from France, from Germany, from England, and from the United States. Right. They understand us better than Al-Qaeda did, and that's why it's more dangerous. And we don't understand them as well as we understood Al-Qaeda, because under the Obama-Clinton administration, our intelligence has dropped dramatically. I mean, when we had all those troops in Iran, in Iraq, we should have had them in Iran. When we had them in Iraq and...
We don't send troops there, just money.
Yeah. $33 billion to kill us. I mean, that gets turned around into killing us and our allies and getting ready to destroy Israel. When we had so many troops, we were getting a great deal of intelligence. Because when you have a lot of troops in a country, like in Iraq, like in... Afghanistan, you get a lot of intelligence. We're not getting that intelligence. Plus, rather than capturing people because Obama didn't want to fill up Guantanamo, he used drones to kill them. Well, okay, some of them you had to do that way. I always prefer capturing them, but I'm an investigator and a former prosecutor, and I want to get their information. I also can't figure out for the life of me what's more humane, waterboarding or killing somebody with a drone. At least if you're going to waterboard me, I get a choice. I can tell you the information. I can talk my way out of it. If you're going to get waterboarded, and I'm not proposing waterboarding, so don't get, let's not have a... But just you think for yourself, what's the moral difference between dropping a bomb on a man's head, who's a terrorist, or grabbing the man, sitting him down, and telling him, if you don't tell me about all the other terrorists, I'm going to waterboard you. At least in the second situation, he gets a chance to save his life and do something good for society.
Well, and as you said, the intelligence value. Mayor, I want to go back, Mayor, to the issue of the municipalities. Being a mayor, now 15 years ago, I know your background in associated with law enforcement, and I know that you cleaned up New York and you were very strong in the law enforcement arena. I spent 10 years in law enforcement, so I understand that world. 15 years ago, our law enforcement was not as advanced and equipped as it is today when it comes to dealing with terrorism. However, it's still, I'm going to ask you, I want to put this in the form of a question. Our local law enforcement has been forced to deal with an issue because our federal government has not. Is that a viable solution going forward?
With a president who can say the words radical Islamic terrorism and therefore can point the country and in the direction that we have to go rather than the confusion that we have today, where we call the attack in Fort Hood, you know, workplace violence. With a president who can do that and can get the Justice Department and the Department of Homeland Security kind of like on the same page, my belief has been, and I preach this all over, that the FBI and the Justice Department has to use the local police as their eyes and ears, because a new threat is coming from within our communities. You're not going to pick it up by intercepting emails, even Hillary Clinton's emails. I had to get it in. You know where you're going to get the information. You're going to get the information from the local police. So yes, a lot of them have been trained. New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, very well trained. There's a whole course on precursors of terrorism that they go through. Things to look for, things to watch for. But the FBI has to use them as their eyes and ears, and that relationship has to be made closer. And for that, you need the right leadership. You need the right leadership that is explaining that we are in a war, right. And that this is an important priority. It's not just, you know, another thing, which is the way it's treated by the president when he kind of acts very nonchalant about many of these attacks. So you've got basically 14,000-15,000 FBI agents. You've got 800,000 sworn local police officers, including big ones like NYPD, Chicago, Los Angeles. So those 800,000 should be the eyes and ears of the FBI, and I believe Donald Trump can accomplish that.
When you look at how this administration has dealt with radical Islam, in fact, even going back and rewriting policies within the Department of Justice so that even the terminology of radical Islam cannot be used, how far has that filtered down to the local level?
I'll give you a practical example of how dangerous that is. In San Bernardino, before the attack, the two people who committed the attack were observed in their garage late at night doing things that their neighbors thought were very suspicious. Of course, they were both Arab-looking. And some of the neighbors said they didn't turn them in because they felt maybe they were being prejudiced. So they were being affected by the tyranny of political correctness that is stopping us from reporting things we otherwise would report. Major Nadal in the Army gets promoted to major while he was writing, and it was being reported, jihadist screeds and communicating with terrorists overseas, and we promoted him to major. I'm sorry, I don't think that happens unless there's a kind of political correctness that has been, you know, pushed on people. I know many people that are afraid to say Islamic extremist terrorism. We got to get free to that. We need like a declaration of independence from political correctness.
I'm for that.
And I could, if I had the time, tell you terrorist attacks that were stopped because of in one case, a police officer who did see two Arab gentlemen surveilling a subway suspiciously, and by turning them in, he stopped a bombing of that subway and possibly several others. So this is very, very important. What the leader says is very important. When I was in the Justice Department, you couldn't use the word mafia. And do you know who got that taken out? Mario Biagi and the Italian Civil Rights League. Mario Biagi I put in prison. The Italian Civil Rights League was founded by Joseph Colombo, the head of a mafia crime family. And I was an Italian-American, and my view was every group has good people and bad people. Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Muslims, Italians, whatever. And all the good people should be on one side, and we should all be against the percentage of bad people, which is roughly the same for all of us, on the other side. And I would like to see that happen in the Islamic world. I'd like to see that happen in a more dramatic way.
Yeah, more pronounced. Mayor, I think I can speak for many, many Americans in reflecting back 15 years ago to the attack of 9/11. And thank you for your leadership. Thank you for being, you know, the title America's Mayor. Because of the leadership and the confidence that you instilled in a time of crisis that let people know we can get through that. And I say that for this, number one, to thank you. But number two, you could easily just enjoy retirement. You don't need to be out here, you know, speaking at events like this and taking the risk of the media saying nice things about you.
I would be so uncomfortable if they did.
I know.
I would feel, I work for Ronald Reagan, and President Reagan taught me something. He said, I read the New York Times editorials, and then I do the opposite.
Well, having said that, this was my question. Why are you spending your time out on the campaign trail with Donald Trump?
Two reasons. First, for my country. I believe that if this country is turned over to Hillary Clinton, we will end up being a European social democracy. And I believe Israel will be in grave jeopardy. And I believe that Islamic terrorism will continue to keep us on defense. When she said the other night, ruling out putting troops on the ground before she even got her sentence out, that is such a sign of weakness. The thing we hear most often from this president is, no boots on the ground, no boots on the ground, no boots on the ground, no boots on the ground. At least leave the darn thing open as a possibility to frighten your enemy. So I'm doing it for my country and for my children, and I'm doing it because Donald Trump has been my friend for 28 or 29 years. I am absolutely disgusted at the way in which the press is covering him. This is a very... This is a very good man. This is a very honest man. This is an enormously accomplished man who happens to be a tremendous executive, which is what you need in a president. And it reminds me of what Ronald Reagan went through. And in my view, Ronald Reagan was the greatest president of the second half of the 20th century. And since I know him as a personal friend, I can see those qualities in him. And I want America to see them. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
You've been listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. But folks, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you found Reince Priebus, his remarks at this year's Values Voters Summit, and that of Rudy Giuliani, informative. I think they're informative because these are the very policies we should look for in the incoming Trump administration. Of course, we're going to be tracking that very closely. All right, folks, if you want more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Until next time, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com.